Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is feeling well today. Today we're actually going to head into starting Acts 1. This is the area again, we're following Peter's journeys, and I'm not necessarily going verse by verse through Acts, but we're going to spend, as you know, we did Paul's journeys, and we spent a lot of time in Acts, and it's funny they call Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but it really concentrates on just a couple of them, mainly Paul, mostly, and then Peter also is in quite a bit of it. So we'll see as we go forward. But today we're going to just pick up with Acts 1, and this is in the beginning. It reviews what we already saw from the Gospels about Jesus' ascension. It adds a little bit more information, so I thought I would include it. It also goes on to Peter's next act of helping to select the 12th apostle that we know Judas committed suicide. So I would prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for your word, Lord. And how much it shows us things we need to know and teaches us so much about what you want us to know. And thank you so much for it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So today, again, I mentioned we're in Acts 1. And we start reading. And Acts was written by Luke, and he was a physician, as we found out. Paul mentions comments that he's a physician, but he not only wrote the book of Luke, but he continues on in Acts. And he always opened both his works, Luke and Acts, with this comment, the form to a person called Thalapius, and we're not sure who that is because. At least I couldn't find out, and I've heard plenty of other commentaries to know that they don't really know who he was for sure. But it's somebody that was important in Luke's life. So starting in verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Thrapius, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To him also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Interesting note that we know about the fort that he was after the resurrection, that he was with the us because of this verse for 40 days. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus speaking said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria. And take note of those that list there. That pretty much covers exactly what they do too. They start in Jerusalem, and as we'll see in Peter's journeys, he's going to be starting to reach out to some of these other areas. Then, of course, later in Acts, you're going to see Paul even go unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up, go into heaven. And they returned, they unto Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew and Philip, Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of James. That Judas, though, is actually the Judas and the brother James is not the same James as you see James the son of Alphaeus. They believe that that Judas indicate is actually who wrote the book of Jude, one of Jesus' half-brothers, along with his other half-brother James. As you noted before, we mentioned that Mary, coming up here shortly, you're going to see Mary's there also. So it looks like most of the Jesus' family was also there. There was verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's where I got that from, is that Mary's there and with some of the others that followed Jesus through most of his journeys. In verse 15 here, we see that there was about 120 people there. And verse 15 says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, in parentheses, the number of the names together were about 120. So there were about 120 people there total, not just 11 disciples. And now Peter speaking. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And the only other reference, he mentions David here, and I went to, it's in Psalms 41:9 that he's referencing. It says, Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's the verse that Peter is mentioning. Back to Acts 1:17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. So they're getting ready to start the process of selecting the 12th apostle. Now we make note here that you notice that Peter stood up and is taking charge. And we're going to see that as we go forward. And this is part of the reason I did the prior stuff. You see that Peter, you know, made his mistakes, and it I think it's an important lesson to look at Peter from the standpoint of he was called by Jesus and it excited, but he didn't always do exactly what was he had to be told and what's the word I'm looking for? Corrected quite a few times, you know, that time that he was told that Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. And then, of course, the denial period. And so he had his ups and downs. And I like to point that out because, you know, in our walk, you know, we have our ups and downs. And that there's times that we're doing exactly what's right. And sometimes the Lord has to correct us a little bit. And so, but as you see going forward, you're going to see a new Peter. And at this point, you can see that he's kind of already taken the lead to organize and to start a ministry for the Lord, which we know from yesterday that Jesus kind of brought him on the carpet and said, Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it, I see that Peter is trying to do that here. So on to verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. In other words, he committed suicide. Kind of a little bit of graphic there. He did it by hanging, and I have heard that sometimes hangings are pretty not something you would want to witness. and was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue El Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So this is again, I didn't look up this verse. I should have, I guess. If I can get it real quick. Psalm 69:25. Looks like it might be. Yep, there it is. I'll just add it in here and take a look at it. Here is Psalm 69:25. This is what he's referencing. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. It's a reference by David in Psalms to this area that they call it the Potter's Field, because it was actually bought. It was a piece of land that the Pharisees bought from a man named Potter. And from what I understand, to this day, nobody lives there. It's desolate. So on to verse Acts 1:21. Wherefore, these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed to Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus. And I wonder, I might check, I'll do a little study on this. I remember a justice that was mentioned in Acts later on that was involved with Paul. So I think that maybe he continued on with the ministry, but not as, as you'll see, seen here, not as necessarily an apostle. And then, and Matthias, verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And finishing up Acts 1, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So you can see here, that's the end of Acts 1. I'm going to stop there for today. So we've got the 12th apostle now, Matthias. And again, you notice that they prayed, and based on their prayers, and I guess they drew lots. It's something that I always found kind of interesting. It's actually very similar to the, more of a way of saying that they voted. And but for today's prophecy moment, I just want to bring up something that you'll see in the comments. I put two links there to a couple of videos. They're from a man by the name of Chuck Missler. He went to be home with the Lord in 2018. And but he had a lot of insight into things of the future. He wasn't a prophet or anything. I'm not saying that. He's very good at explaining, at least for me. I love listening to his Bible studies. In his commentary on Jude, just recently I ran into this again. It was an updated. It's probably from the time frame of about. Somewhere around 2005 is when he was doing a lot of these different commentaries on. He's done a commentary on every single book of the Bible. But I've really had this deep sense that the Lord wants me to pass on some things for people to consider, and it might be for people, not even now, but during the tribulation. I've just been really heavy on my heart lately, so I want to pass on some things. I'm going back into Matthew for a second. And this is the period of time of what they call the Olivet Discourse. It's quite a study of the entire chapter. And most people I've talked to agree that, that I've listened to, I should say, theologians that I find very knowledgeable. Another one is a man by the name of Dr. Andy Woods. He's a theologian and also a pastor of a church down in Texas. He's really good too. I recommend him if you're looking for somebody to help with your studies. But the in Matthew, he suggests that the Olivet Discourse actually starts to properly get the framework for Matthew 24. You start in Matthew 23:37, and even Chuck likes to point out that chapter divisions came in the 1800s, I think, 1700s, somewhere in there. And they weren't necessarily considered, in other words, they're a great reference system for us to find something, but they're not necessarily from the time of when they were written. It's just to help us try to find things in the Bible. So realize that some chapters seem like they should have started a little bit earlier or a little bit later. So that's why I know that at least Dr. Woods likes to point out that he thinks Matthew chapter 24 actually starts here in 23:37. So I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm not going to go through the whole book, the whole chapter. But something that just keeps gnawing at me, and I just want to make mention of it. So I'll start reading. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I might point out, this is Jesus talking, by the way. The time frame is that they're leaving the temple and they're heading up to the Mount of Olives. Continue reading. Verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And he's talking to, this is actually, he's speaking to people in the temple. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And this one verse here actually points to the end of Revelation. And I should probably say that I truly believe through my studies that the book of Matthew is written by Matthew. And its main focus is, his main focus is on the Jewish people. So a lot of what you read in Matthew, even though it applies and we can use it for ourselves, it's really being spoken to the Jewish people. So when he talks back in 37 about, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it kind of points out that he's really talking to the to Israel as a whole. So back to 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And based on at least my studies, that's what's going to happen towards the end of the tribulation, is that through the tribulation, the people of that time frame, the Israeli people, the Jews, are going to cry out for the Lord and realize that that their true Messiah was actually Jesus Christ. As you probably know, most Jews today are looking, that are devout, believe that their Messiah has not come yet. So on to Matthew 24, and again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just a few verses that that I think pertain to what's really been on my mind a lot lately. And so I'm starting in verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They're referencing back to those verses I just mentioned. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And this, to me, is like one of the most important verses to remember, is that, and why it's so important to study the Word of God and to know God through His Word, so that you won't be deceived as the days get tougher and tougher as we go forward. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he keeps on this idea of being deceived. And again, I'm not going to read the whole book. I recommend if you want to do a nice study of Matthew 24, it's well worth it. And if you want some resources, some people that maybe I can help you understand it, I can point you to some like the Dr. Woods I mentioned, and also Chuck Missler is really good. I'm going to jump to verse 11. This is the area that's and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I actually believe we're in this time frame. Let me reiterate that I think Matthew 24 mostly is going to happen during the tribulation. But as somebody like Chuck used to say, is that you know, if you start seeing Christmas lights and Christmas displays being in the stores and in the malls and stuff, then you know Thanksgiving is just around the corner. So what he meant by that is that you're starting to see some of the things that are spoken of in the Bible, then probably the rapture isn't very far off. So I think I'm saying this stuff more for people that are going to be left behind than for us. But I also think it's important to remember for us also. So verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And again, I think these verses are pointing to people that are in the middle of the tribulation to give them hope, to keep plugging along, and to keep striving that the Lord will come back again. These are people who missed the rapture. I believe there's a lot of different ideas about some of this stuff. So I'm going to jump to the verse I really wanted to point to. It's in verse 37. And this is the area that, I don't know, just lately, I can't get it off my mind. It feels like the Holy Spirit just wants me to mention it. So I'm going to read a few verses here. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this is Jesus speaking on the Mount of Olives to his disciples, who are Jewish. But I think this is this instruction, again, is to what's going to be happening during the tribulation. So I want you to realize that there's going to be some that say that it's happening right now, but I think that we're in the middle of the buildup to this period of time. So that's what I'm going to mention, and it's about the flood of Noah that has me concerned. And again, back in Genesis 6, 1 through 9 is where they talk about the flood of Noah. And some other verses that really come to mind when it comes to this particular passage, and particularly Genesis 6, 1 through 9. And in Jude 1, 6, lately I had a long, strong desire to study Jude, and I've been doing a study on Jude and with Dr. Missler. And you'll see in the comments that the links to this particular verse are there. He does an entire study of the whole book, which I recommend. I'm just going to pick up on this particular verse for right now. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chains unto darkness until the judgment of the great day. And it's also said again over in 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now make note that Chuck makes note of this. This particular word hell in this particular verse is actually Tartarus. And it's the only place in the Bible they mention this verse. They reference hell, the Greek version called Tartarus. And he gives a complete explanation in this in the video of what he feels is Tartarus. and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I believe that these verses are pointing to Revelations 13, 16. And I'll just finish off with these. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And again, the reason I'm bringing this up is I think that you can see that starting to hear a lot of things about, and it has to do with what's going on now. And I'm not going to dwell on this right here. I might do a complete video sometime of my thoughts about the current events and what's going on right now. And some of the things that I'm hearing have got me very, very disturbed when it comes to this particular period of time. And I'm not so at what we were warned about by these verses I mentioned. So do your own study on it. And as Paul says in Acts 17:11, take everything in and listen carefully, but also dig into the scriptures yourself and find out what the Lord says to you. And I'd be curious to know what some of you may think. If you want to comment on this video, I would love to talk more on this, but I would like to get some other opinions as to what they think. So again, those videos I pointed to, Chuck Missler was, again, he died. He went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. So they're a little bit outdated, and his thoughts, even though they're heading in this direction, I think that as the days approach, things are going to get more and more noticeable, I think, of some of these verses are going to make much more sense to us the closer we get to the rapture. So I'll end with that note. And I got, forgot to mention yesterday too, I did have a picture I wanted to show you. We were talking about Jesus' ascension, and he mentions heading towards Bethany, if you remember from yesterday. And I forgot to show you yesterday. I'll bring that map back over. Excuse me. And again, you see Bethany's way over here. It's quite a ways. As it points out, it's about what they call a Sabbath day's journey. They're only allowed to walk so far on a Sabbath day. So that's what he meant by that. I don't remember how long it is. I think it's like 6 miles at the most. And this is an art rendition of what Bethany looked like in that time frame. And it could have been these hills in around the city. And Jesus spent a lot of time in Bethany during his time near Jerusalem. It's where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And it's an interesting place. Today it's actually in the middle of Jerusalem. If you looked at a map, you can't even tell where Bethany is. Jerusalem is so big that it almost encompasses this whole area. It's grown so much. But I just show you that on an end note. And we'll end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for your word and for the promises you give us, and that the assurance that you are, as the verse says there, that you have your wings over us, protecting us, and that you continue to, if we look to you and keep our eyes on you, we will do just fine, and to keep our eyes on you and our eyes in the Word, learning about you. Oh, and I thank you so much for this time. Be with everyone today and help them through their daily activities. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you. This is Friday, so I'll talk to you again on Monday, and we will get into the Pentecost. I had mentioned yesterday we were going to hit Pentecost, but that'll actually be Monday. We'll start with Pentecost, and we'll start seeing the journeys of Peter. So have a great weekend, and keep in mind that Sunday services will be You're welcome to come to the church. We're open. Sunday school is at 9, and at main service is at 10, and then we have evening service at 5. And that also it's also live streamed here, right here on Facebook. Have a great day.